Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Let's do a little Chucky sports page right now. And I'll start with some baseball. You know, the Nationals have had a rough year. 52-75. But they beat the Mets, pounded them 9-3, and James Wood broke out of a slump, three-run home run. Riley Adams hit a go-ahead two-run single in the fifth inning. And you get a win over the Mets. I think when you look back on the season, you're going to think about what went right. And that's James Wood, number one. 26 home runs on the year so far.
Mm-hmm. He's been pretty much, I mean, he and Mackenzie Gore, I'd say, right?
They've been limited bright spots.
The biggest bright spot.
For the Nats.
I mean, even Dylan Cruz, who we talked about yesterday, you know, like 8-23 or whatever he's been. He's still batting under 200 for the season.
199. Just can't get above that 200 mark.
I do think Brady House has been okay. He's been solid.
Hit three hits yesterday and went 3-4. He's hitting 246 on the year. Only has two home runs.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's not going to be a power hitter, but I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll develop. But yeah, I feel like he's handling his business. He's hanging in there. His first shot.
47 games with only two home runs. I think you want more power out of your infielder.
I think so. But that's not the only metric, right? I think he's doing a good job. I think defensively they like him. We'll see. Maybe he could develop.
But hey.
He's only 22 years old.
Yeah, he's a youngin'.
You got James Wood. You got CJ Abrams. Got a couple other young players. Dylan Cruz that you hope develops. Brady House. Like you mentioned, Mackenzie Gore. And we'll see what happens here in the offseason if they end up making a managerial switch, if they make a general manager switch.
It's going to be hard for me to take them seriously until they start spending. I think your floor for payroll has got to be like $100 million.
I don't think they're going to. When's the looming lockout? Two seasons away?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think we talked about it when you were away.
I think at the end of 2026 is what they've said.
Yeah.
So you would get all of next season in.
Yeah, then the lockout.
Believe that's correct.
I mean, if you're following a team that's spending $50 or $60 million in payroll, and your division mates are spending north of 200 and sometimes 300 million, I mean, it's hard to think you're going to compete with those teams.
They're not.
Okay.
Well, they're not.
That's the current state of the Nats, then.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Of course, we've been focusing on Terry McLaurin a lot in the last couple of weeks. Our NFL Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And there were reports, which we talked a little bit yesterday, that McLaurin is looking to land parts of the 5-year, $150 million contract that the Steelers gave DK Metcalf earlier this year.
But again, now for the 5 years, that's it's a bit of a fallacy. The only real guaranteed money for DK Metcalf, I believe, is in the first 2 years of his deal. So you look at the 5 years, you got to look at the guaranteed money and the money at signing. Those are the numbers that matter. Those are the numbers he's really comping DK Metcalf against.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic now is the one who said that somebody with knowledge of the contract negotiation said the veteran asked for more than DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. In the article, she writes, McLaurin believes he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He's been the Commander's leading receiver every season since he entered the league, which was 2019. And last year, the second most receiving touchdowns in the league behind Ja'Marr Chase's 17. He also ranked third in expected points added on targets and seventh in catch rate amongst receivers with at least 100 targets last year. But among this same group, his total receiving yards ranked 12th, and his average yards ranked 25th.
I don't hold it against anybody for a big ask. You go big. What I might start to hold it against you is if you're not willing to come off it. Or, right, you know, you're just marginally coming off.
Yeah, you have no wiggle room whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, go ask for the moon. That's fine. That's standard, actually. But then after that, at some point, you got to show some flexibility. And maybe they have, but it just hasn't been reported. We just don't know what that number could be, what the bottom end of that threshold could be where they could actually meet in the middle somehow. For the Commanders, reportedly, it's in that 27-28 range. I know that Grant and Danny had the guy from SpotTrack on, and he plugged in all the numbers, and the number he kind of came up with was 27. He actually plugged in all the numbers, and his little formula said, give him 3 years and $27 million each, and it was, you know, something in the realm of like $82 million.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an incredible deal.
You would think, especially if a big chunk of that 80-some million is guaranteed money.
Yeah, but... You know, that's what the machine's spitting out. That's what the kind of seems like the consensus is at this point, what he might be worth. But until he accepts it, we're going to be in this pickle.
Couple other stories here, NFL related. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, went on Michael Irvin's YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the agreement he believed he made with Micah Parsons would have made him the highest paid guaranteed player other than a quarterback in the NFL. He said, quote, nobody appreciates Michael Parsons more than the Cowboys or me. Nobody has ever offered him more money than I have to play football, period. Yeah, well, but who else could offer him? He's been signed by the Cowboys. He was drafted by the Cowboys.
Here's the problem. Is it written down on paper anywhere? Is this a real formal offer? Or is this just Jerry spitballing Micah in the room without his agent?
Yeah, but then he did present it, and that's where they told him to shove it where the sun don't shine.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He said, when we wanted to send the details to the agent told us to stick it up.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand Micah and the agent being pissed, because the agent, it sounds like Jerry's trying to circumvent and try to get the deal done without him in the room.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason that Micah's hiring an agent to do that work for him.
Right.
So I can understand them being kind of pissed with the way things have been handled.
Now, somebody is going out on record, and he's a nobody. He's got like 19,000 followers, but he's claiming, and he's not revealing his sources, but that his source is saying that Micah told the Cowboys that he only wants to play for Dan Quinn.
Oh, really? I did see that Micah scrubbed all of his social media of any sort of Cowboys content.
Right.
I think that was yesterday.
I think he's seriously pissed. I think Terry is pissed, but I feel like you can come back from it. Micah is seriously pissed. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to see a scenario at the moment where they work it out with Micah unless they literally just cave and give him everything he wants.
Yeah, I mean, a few months ago we thought it was unfathomable that Myles Garrett would go back and sign with Cleveland. And then Cleveland gave him basically $40 million per season.
Right.
And bygones are bygones. And everybody's happy.
Right.
But I think it's going to take a sack of money bigger than obviously what you gave Myles Garrett to make Micah happy and want him to stay in Dallas.
How big would the earth move if there was some sort of Micah-Terry deal?
I mean, that would be seismic. It would be amazing.
They don't even need him over there, right?
Who, Dallas. Terry?
Dallas.
I mean, they brought in George Pickens to run with CeeDee Lamb. So, I mean, that's an upgrade over what they had.
Yeah.
They'd have a pretty crowded wideout room.
Right.
I think I like it as a fantasy football type trade.
Well,
deal.
Just as an earth rat.
Oh, it would be huge.
Yeah.
It would be massive.
Yeah.
Injury news,
which is always important this time of year.
Exactly. We had Dave Richard on the show from CBS Sports Fantasy Football Guru. Mm-hmm. He started coming on the show yesterday. We'll have him on throughout the season like we always do for your lineup decisions. Chris Godwin has been activated off the PUP list, but he still won't be able to play for the Buccaneers when the season starts.
Drabby, this means that the hype for Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State is going to be going crazy.
They're raving about him.
Well, yeah, it seems like Baker's raving about him. I think he's learned all of the receiver positions. Like, he's going to get a ton of playing time because Jalen McMillan, who's in year two, is now out, I think, for half the season. I think he sprained his neck. So there's a lot of injuries going through that Bucs wideout room. Egbuka going to have a big role as a rookie.
Well, they also have Sterling Shepard, too, I believe.
Okay. I mean,
a nice veteran role.
I mean, that guy's had a hard time staying healthy throughout his NFL career. I wouldn't expect a ton out of him, but he is a vet in the room.
Did you watch any of the Giants preseason and Jackson Dart last
night? Watched a little bit of it.
He is kind of fun to watch.
He is.
You got to tell. You know, you never know how to draft these guys. It seems like it's fairly like a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they might have hit on one there. And it's going to be hard if Russ just kind of does what he did last year to keep him out there more than a couple weeks.
Maybe Ben can find this, but I think my man Fitzpatrick was kind of joking on his release, saying he has a slow release.
Oh, really?
I think it was pregame.
Uh-huh.
But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he may. He might be right. May it turn into a fatal flaw.
For a team that looked like it had a mess in the quarterback room, I mean, you've got a vet in Russ.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy showing promise in Jackson Dart. And you have the most fun guy in the league in Jameis Winston, also in that quarterback room.
I don't know what Jameis did after. I'm sure he was a disaster. But when he first came in, right away, touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Dart gets dinged up a little bit. Jameis comes in. Boom, touchdown.
And then Dart was on the sideline, goofing with him, feeding the W's. I mean, it's a fun room with Jameis in it there in New York.
Looks like Tommy DeVito's on the outside.
I would think so.
Yeah, but here are your numbers. So Jameis only had 8 passes, 4 for 8, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Because that's what he does.
That's kind of what he does. That's a Jameis roller coaster ride you
Jackson
get on.
Jackson Dart. Rookie, 6 for 12, 81 yards, but another touchdown. Mm-hmm. He's had a bunch in the preseason.
He had another bomb that the guy just dropped. Now, he was draped all over him, but, I mean, it was a beautiful pass. Down the left sideline. I mean, that would have added another 50 yards.
He also had a 23-yard run, so he's athletic. And then Tommy DeVito, who I guess is the fourth quarterback right now on the roster. Yeah.
He's on the outside looking
17 for 20 for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns. Quarterback rating 147.5.
That's a good tape for him.
Let's go to the audio we have of Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about Jackson Dart last night.
Yeah, from Jackson Dart, it's exciting. He's got leadership, he's got intelligence, and he's got moxie, which is a fun thing. I don't like his release. I think it's slow. He dances like Drew Locke. Not a huge fan. I don't think Giants fans should be excited at all.
Wow, that is a real shot.
Raining on the parade over there.
Ryan, I mean, he said like 5 or 6 nice things, and then he just murdered him.
Brought the hammer at the end.
Then he just murdered him.
Wow.
Yet another preseason game last night. It was the Steelers and the Panthers. You know, with the Steelers, all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers, and he just doesn't play in the preseason anymore. So it's kind of a great unknown. Skylar Thompson was 11 for 13 for a touchdown. Carolina didn't play Bryce Young. The third preseason game, you know that they don't play guys. But people are interested in the Cleveland Browns preseason game, and it appears that Shedeur Sanders will play in that final preseason game. He responded to, it's interesting, I didn't think Dylan Gabriel was taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders, but Shedeur Sanders was asked about it, and he was like, it is what it is, so maybe he perceived it to be a shot.
Well, I read his comments, and he said he talked to him on the plane about it, and that that he said it wasn't about you, bro. And he said, you know, what do I know? I don't know if it is or was it. But he also said, like, nothing anybody says can affect me. And so, I don't know. He's leaving it open as it might have been against him. But certainly he told him it wasn't.
Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, said they're going to play their starters in the game between 20 to 25 plays. So you're going to see your starters. But Shedeur is expected to play. Kenny Pickett, not expected to play. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury.
Drabby, what do you want to say?
Well, we got to go back to that Fitzpatrick thing because
he's murdering him.
I know, but I think it wasn't intended for air. I think they're just doing like a bit.
Okay.
There was called like, it's like a run through before. I just watched it again.
Okay.
Because I saw the story and I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. They would never say that. And then other people on TV or reporters saying, yeah, you just say crazy stuff during the warm-ups before you get to your actual segment. And then at the end of that thing,
so that wasn't
Thompson
on
says,
air?
yeah, say that on air and laughs.
I don't know what you're, I don't know what you're like, talking about. That's how crazy TV is.
They
you
were
do
just
so
doing,
many rehearsals.
It was rehearsal. It was rehearsal, and he was just joking around, I think. All the people in the professionals, reporters are saying, well, that's not real. That's all sarcasm.
Okay.
So that was just a bit. He was doing a bit.
Because that. Yeah. Well, it's impossible for me to know. I'll take your word for it because I didn't see it. But that sounded crazy. say all these nice things, and then just slaughter him at the end.
Yeah, it did make a lot of sense if you listen to it.
Yeah. I guess now I got to watch it.
Right, I only heard the clip, so I didn't have all that context with that Drab's giving at this point.
He probably does have a long release, but I don't think that precludes him. I mean, Randall Cunningham had a long release. A lot of guys have had long releases.
Bottom line is he's balled out in 3 preseason games. Does that translate to the regular season? We don't know, but they invested a top draft choice in Jaxson Dart, and so far he's produced every time he's been on the field.
Now, it does sound like Al Michaels was just going hard on Ryan Fitzpatrick on the broadcast for like 15 straight minutes, according to this Twitter feed. Now, nice. I'm not going to go back and listen to all 15 minutes, but it sounds like Michaels was roasting Ryan Fitzpatrick's career.
Right.
Which, you know what? He had a pretty solid career for a guy who went to Harvard.
Totally.
And played football at Harvard.
Totally. It's just not like something that these guys do either. Like, they don't go up there and roast them like that. They don't just murder a guy. So, I mean, if it was a rehearsal, okay, I don't know how that stuff leaks out.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I'm watching him throw. It doesn't look like it's overly long. Maybe it is. I mean, he's certainly not Marino.
But I mean, that touchdown he threw to Dulcich, he's zinging that ball in there. Seemed like he got there with the quickness.
Yeah. Since you used the word murder, that's a good transition for the story about Jaylen Brown's dad, the Boston Celtics superstar. Jaylen Brown, his dad, a former boxer, Marcel Brown, was arrested for attempted murder after allegedly stabbing a youth football coach in a parking lot dispute.
Oh, no.
Las Vegas Metro Police is investigating a stabbing that went down at the All-American Park on Wednesday. Said the two men were in a verbal altercation over a parking space. McCakes always says he worries about parking.
I don't worry about parking. You know what? You know why? I don't worry about getting stabbed in a parking dispute because I park 20 spots away, and I don't get into disputes with people over things as trivial as a parking spot.
If you pull into a plaza though, and it's packed, and let's just say you're going to the Harris Teeter or something,
sure,
and it's freaking packed, and you got to park like so far away, like 4 or 5 storefronts over. You still go an extra 20 spots away from everybody else?
Maybe not necessarily, but I am not the person who trolls through every lane looking for the closest spot.
I understand, but let's just say there's 10 cars and then a space and then 10 cars. Are you going to go for that one space in
Depends.
The middle?
I'm going to scan the parking lot and find the spot that I like the best. That's what I do.
So here's what went down. So the alleged victim's girlfriend told the cops that Brown dinged their vehicle with the door of a Lincoln Navigator as he got out of the passenger side.
Okay.
The woman stated the coach then got out of his car to check out the damage. But Brown brushed it off and said it was simply a bump before calling him a bitch ass.
That was fighting words.
Started to walk away.
Yeah.
Then there was a back and forth. The woman claims the two agreed to duke it out, it says here on TMZ. But when the coach's back was turned,
do you agree to a duel?
Brown pulled out an object from his right side, swung his arm in a stabbing motion, striking the coach in his back.
God, what an idiot. What an absolute moron. Why are you even walking around with like a concealed weapon like that? You're leaving a football game?
Some people are walking around with knives, guns.
You're leaving
a
football game? You're a grown-ass man. What is going on?
He's a big boy, too. Brown is... there's no way... I mean, maybe there's a way. According to TMZ, this is also the woman stating that Brown was 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. I was like, there's no way. Except Jaylen Brown is in the NBA. He is like 6'8". So is his dad 7 feet, 300?
I mean, that seems like a stretch, but
seems like a stretch, but I'm also looking at a picture of him.
Yeah, he's a huge dude.
He's a tall guy.
He is a big guy.
He's a big boy.
He's a big fella.
And according to the story, to the one witness, he chased after the guy. The coach is 5'9", 160.
You know what looks like that idiot. Guy doesn't need? a knife because he's a big dude and he's a boxer.
Need the thing.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Unbelievable. All right. A little bit later in the show, coming up at 8 o'clock, got two big announcements. 9 o'clock, Kadri Ismail from the Baltimore Ravens to preview the preseason game, the final preseason matchup between the Commanders and the Ravens. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.